Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, March 11th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi, and here are our top stories this evening. In a landmark case, the High Court has ruled that Section 70 of the Police Act, which places a cap of a six-month period within which police should be sued, is inconsistent with Zimbabwe's constitution.
Thousands of Zimbabweans have been a victim of this notorious provision. This provision deals with what you in America call statute of limitations, time limitation. When do you bring a court case?
Former ZANU-PF members speak out on what they claim are attempts by President Mugabe to create a family dynasty.
As the former leadership of ZANU-PF, we feel greatly shortchanged by the prevarication of ZANU-PF led by Robert Mugabe from the broadly accepted objectives of the struggle.
The MDCT expresses a dismay over the arrest of Gweru Mayor Hamutendi Kombai, and a suspended Zimbabwe Football Association board member has refused to step down, saying he will only do that if Zifa proves that he is guilty of match fixing.
I think I've played football and I've contributed a lot to football, even to the development of.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. In a landmark case, High Court Judge Justice Amit Sanga yesterday ruled that Section 70 of the Police Act, which places a cap of a six-month period within which police should be sued, is inconsistent with the country's supreme law. Two Zimbabwean soldiers, Michael Munyika and Crispin Tobaiwa, who were represented by Tendai Biti, argued that the section was discriminatory. Police shot the two after suspecting them to be robbers as they travelled in a truck along with others to Karoi from work. Munyika lost a right hand finger and was also shot in the chest, and the bullet remains lodged in his body. He is suing Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo, Police Commissioner General Augustine Chiwuri, Damburai and Chibanda for about $383,000. His colleague Tobaiwa, who was shot in the leg, is demanding damages amounting to almost $573,000. The two notified the police of their intention to sue, but delayed serving papers as they were receiving treatment in a local hospital. The summons were only issued 11 months after the incident. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu speaks with Tendai Biti about the landmark judgment.
Thousands of Zimbabweans have been a victim of this notorious provision. This provision deals with what you in America call statute of limitations, time limitation. When do you bring a court case? Now, in Zimbabwe, we've got a law that is called the Prescription Act. And the Prescription Act covers everyone, you and me. If I want to sue you, I'm given 3 years within which to sue you. And then the prescription against the government. If you owe money against the government, it has got 20 years within which to sue you. However, for the police, if you want to sue the police, it's only 6 months. In a country like Zimbabwe, where there is poverty, where there is illiteracy, you know, a person doesn't know that I've got a right. And sometimes, what happened in the particular case I did, which is very terrible, the two plaintiffs, my clients, were soldiers. They were in a combi going to Chinoy. Then a policeman boarded that combi and said to the driver, drive. They went in some road, a police station in Wurungwe, Karoi, and the police started beating these soldiers despite the fact that they produced identity cards. They beat them so much that one of them is actually disabled, and they spent more than 8 months in hospital. So when they came out and sued, they were suddenly told, you can't sue because of Section 70 of the Police Act. So when I got this case, I then said, look, let's grab the bull by the horns. This provision is unconstitutional. So Justice Sanga, in a brilliant judgment, ruled that the that Section 70 was unconstitutional.
What this means is that when people feel they have been wronged by the police, they can go to the courts. And how many years now?
What the court simply did was to say, your Section 70 is unlawful. It left it open.
That was Attorney Tendai Biti speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Former ZANU-PF officials and supporters have lambasted President Robert Mugabe, accusing him of abandoning the principles of Zimbabwe's liberation struggle and turning the party into a family dynasty. Scores of supporters and officials who left the party in different circumstances claim that Mr. Mugabe has almost turned ZANU-PF into a private property as he no longer entertains any internal opposition. Our reporter Gandri Maramba has more details from Maswingo.
They also claim that Mr. Mugabe has surrounded himself with friends and relatives who are now running the party like some personal property. They say his close associates are misleading the 92-year-old Zimbabwean leader who has been in power since the country attained independence from British rule in 1980. Some of the disgruntled former ZANU-PF members say they feel shortchanged by the nonagenarian leader who now wants to be hero-worshipped. Retired Ken Okudzai Mbudzi, who is the party's former Maswingo provincial political commissar, claims that many party officials and supporters are now leaving the party in large numbers as they feel that they have been abandoned by the ZANU-PF leadership.
The broad spectrum of the Zimbabwean people, we have so much been shortchanged as a Zimbabwean community, as war veterans, as the former leadership of ZANU-PF. We feel greatly shortchanged by the prevarication of ZANU-PF led by Robert Mugabe from the broadly accepted objectives of the struggle. And I believe that, you see, there is going to be a total withering, a total disappearance of ZANU-PF once Mugabe disappears. We have decided, and correctly so, that we move away from ZANU-PF and start a new Chimurenga the Third, to dislodge the system, to fight once and for all the system. And I believe all people would actually come and embrace our new concept of inclusivity, honesty, democracy, and also non-violence in dislodging Robert Mugabe come 2018 elections.
His colleagues also claim that ZANU-PF is no longer adhering to the principles set during its formation. They argue that the party has been turned into a family business following the coming in of the first lady Grace Mugabe into politics. Cecilia Gono of Kudu District, the home of the late Vice President Simon Wengesai Muzenda, says the first family is no longer accepting divergent views and is now victimizing dissenting voices.
The reason why we left ZANU-PF as a party is no longer adhering to the standards that we had set initially as an organization. Now they are conforming to standards set by a family, the first family. If you are suspected to be if you say a divergent view, you are suspected to be an enemy of the first family, and then you end up being victimized the way they victimized Basketi, the likes of Mavaire, and all the leaders that we had in Mashingo. So we better join people first rather than to still be in ZANU-PF, and then your voices are being blocked and you are considered an enemy when you support the party.
The former ruling party members say the recent purges of those who express views that are deemed negative to the status quo have actually turned ZANU-PF into a monstrous party. They claim that the principles of democracy, like freedom of expression and association, are no longer respected by Mr. Mugabe and his party, as his close associates are descending heavily on all those suspected of crossing his path. Some youth are also claiming that the ruling party is now ill-treating them after they were used for perpetrating violence against opposition party supporters. Some claim that they have not even been given a piece of land following the controversial land reform adopted by the ruling party in 2000. Peter Zano is among such people who claim that they were promised heaven on earth by party officials when they joined ZANU-PF. However, he claims that most of them never benefited anything from the ruling party.
When we joined ZANU-PF, we were promised a lot of things whereby you were promised heaven on earth, you know. Because initially they promised us everything, like they promised us that as a government, as a ZANU-PF government, they will give us jobs, they will give us land and everything. But then when you look at the land reform program and the people who benefited from that program, it's not the youth actually. Those are the top brass in the government.
A former liberation war fighter who does not want to be identified in fear of being victimized says he is bitter that he fought for the liberation of Zimbabwe but has never enjoyed the fruits of independence.
We are a very disgruntled lot. Actually, personally, myself, I'm very bitter about the going on in ZANU-PF. We find when we're in the war, we had principles as a party, as ZANU-PF, as the leadership, so that we should serve people. But what is now turning is that President Robert Mugabe and his family have just lost those values of respecting the people's wish. They've basically turned ZANU-PF and the government as their own dynasty.
However, a ZANU-PF activist, Talent Chiwange, who is also the National Youth Council Masvingo Chapter Chairperson, said the sentiments from the ex-party members were just a case of sour grapes.
These are just comments from people who are disgruntled, people who have been booted out of the system that they have probably, let me say, they have known for a very long time. Some of them have, most of them have actually benefited from the system. So I would basically say there is really nothing that we can waste our time doing or trying to give an ear to people who are bastardizing the president, the first family, or saying bad things about our president.
President Mugabe, who is the oldest president in the world, is already the party's presidential candidate in the 2018 polls. He will be 94 at that time. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masvingo, I am Kandi Maramba.
The MDCT has condemned the arrest of Gweru Mayor Hamutendi Kombai and Town Clerk Nathaniel Matau, who are facing charges of criminal abuse of office. The party says the arrest, which comes barely a week after a High Court ruling to reinstate him and the entire council, is deplorable and downright irrational. The MDCT says this action typifies the perennial harassment of MDC elected officials by the faction-ridden ZANU-PF. The pair was arrested yesterday and is still in detention. Their lawyer Brian Dube told Studio 7 that the charges the two are facing are not clear and appear to be politically motivated.
They are alleging criminal abuse of office, but the facts are not yet very clear.
We understand that there is money involved, $187,000. Could you tell us more about that?
There is no issue relating to money, $84,000 at all, relating to what you are talking about. On Thursday, yesterday, that's when he was arrested, and we just believe that it was just done to frustrate and to just annoy the electorate. But there is really no substance in whatever they are talking about.
Can you tell us what is the situation right now? Are you going to court? What's going on?
Yeah, the police are hostile. They refused to release the mayor and the town clerk in the custody of their lawyers, despite it being clear that they are not likely, but we believe it's also intended to embarrass them. But we have been assured that possibly tomorrow we are going to court.
And that was attorney Brian Dube. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Gweru. We could not reach Gweru police as they were not answering their phones.
No one should marry or should be married before they attain the age of 18. Being that the case, I'm currently pushing that agenda to Parliament so that it's law. And what that happens, the girl child is in much better position. But we also have to align the Marriage Act to child marriages.
That Now we take a look at regional and international news. Russian officials complained today that they have been frustrated in repeated efforts to get information about the mysterious death of Mikhail Lesin, a former aide to President Vladimir Putin, whose battered body was found in a Washington hotel room 4 months ago. And the United Nations Human Rights Office says South Sudan's government has operated a scorched-earth policy of killing civilians and destroying their villages as it fights the country's civil war. Zimbabwe yesterday joined the international community in marking World Kidney Day amid concerns over the increasing number of people affected by non-communicable diseases. Reporter Chiwoneso Jani gives us more details.
According to the United Nations, World Kidney Day is a global health awareness campaign focusing on the importance of kidneys and the reduction of the frequency and impact of kidney diseases. This year's theme is Children and the Disease, Move Your Feet. Zimbabwe, which has seen an alarming rise in the number of people on kidney dialysis over the past decade, is taking the day seriously in an attempt to save the lives of those at risk. Also alarming, according to the local doctors, is the number of children with kidney ailments in the country. Dr. Rumbidzaidawa, a physician and nephrologist with Harare Hospital, says kidney diseases largely affect one's quality of life. But she says there are several ways to reduce the risk of kidney disease. This includes keeping fit and active, keeping regular control of one's blood sugar level, monitoring blood pressure, eating healthy, and keeping one's weight in check.
Advising parents to ensure that their children are involved in activities, they're exercising. And this is good not only for their kidneys, but for their general overall health. But it's about creating the time and ensuring that our kids grow up with this healthy lifestyle where exercise is an integral part of their day-to-day living.
Dr. Obadiah Moyo, chairman of the Zimbabwe Kidney Foundation and chief executive officer of Chitungwiza Central Hospital, says there are many kidney-related diseases.
Kidney diseases affect children in various ways, you know, and this range from treatable disorders, you know, without long-term consequences, you know, to life-threatening conditions. And acute kidney diseases develop suddenly, and they last usually for just a short time. But they can be, you know, very serious with long-lasting consequences. Or they could go away completely once the underlying cause has been treated.
Tariro, who only gave us her first name, is a single mom based in Mutare, Manicaland province, with a six-year-old son, Alwis, suffering from a kidney ailment. She says the kidney disease has been such a challenge, especially for her son, who has had to miss school on a number of occasions and experienced bullying from other pupils because of his condition.
It really affected him badly. Like, he started going to school, he started going for his grade one last year. Then he missed all the work and he hardly go to school. Then even when he goes to school, sometimes his body is swollen, the head is so big, the eyes, the stomach, and some other children would tease him. So it affected him socially at school. Like, some people will bully him. Even it is difficult for him to find friends.
Alwis, who spoke to Studio 7 with his parents' permission, explains his condition.
My name is Aish Mukindo. I have kidney problems. It's painful. Pray for me.
Another woman based in Harare, Rudo, who did not give her surname, says her six-month-year-old daughter is also struggling with the disease.
She was getting dehydration and we went to the hospital. So her condition is actually called Vata syndrome. It's a very rare condition. But because this is a very rare condition and her case is the first one in Zimbabwe, and there are so many tests that need to be done, and most of them are not done in Zimbabwe. A few have been done in South Africa. Like, we need to conduct a sweat test for her, some genetic tests as well.
According to Dr. Moyo, besides kidney problems that occur later in life due to lifestyle issues, there are some birth defects that lead to kidney ailments. Dr. Dawa adds that while it is common knowledge in Zimbabwe that the number of people with kidney problems is alarmingly high, there has been a challenge in providing statistics as there's no renal registry in the country due to the shortage of nephrologists.
I can't actually give you really hardcore statistics because we actually don't have that information at present. We do have a number of nephrologists, so we are looking at how we can start collecting this data. So we is in reference to the local nephrologists that we have here in Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe currently has only 5 adult nephrologists and 1 pediatric nephrologist serving the whole country. Dr. Moyo says the Zimbabwe Kidney Foundation is doing all it can to raise awareness among Zimbabweans about kidney diseases. He says Zimbabwe is also getting closer to making kidney transplants a reality as it aims to save the lives of those affected. Kidney treatment, he says, should be free for all, like tuberculosis. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Chioneso Jani.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Just over 1 year ago, shortly before midnight on February 27, 2015, Boris Nemtsov, a Russian opposition politician and former deputy prime minister, was assassinated as he walked across a bridge in central Moscow. He was shot in the back 4 times at point-blank range by gunmen driving by in a vehicle. Boris Nemtsov, a nuclear physicist by training, worked for a more democratic and prosperous Russia throughout his life, including during service as deputy prime minister. Mr. Nemtsov was murdered 2 days before he was to participate in a peace rally against Russian involvement in Ukraine. He vehemently objected to Russia's interference in Ukraine's politics and later to the military intervention there. Russian authorities arrested 5 individuals for the murder and have declared the investigation to be completed. The United States calls on the Russian government to ensure that all those responsible for his killing are brought to justice. 1 year after his murder, we remain deeply troubled by the Russian government's growing intolerance of all forms of dissent and independent expression. As we honor the memory of Boris Nemtsov's life and work, we renew our call on the government of Russia to uphold its obligations to the Russian people and the international community to promote and protect universal human rights, including the fundamental freedoms of expression, peaceful assembly, and association.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in sports news, suspended Zimbabwe Football Association board member Edzai Kasinauyo has refused to step down, saying he will only do that if ZIFA proves that he is guilty of match fixing. Kasinauyo, who among others are being accused of allegedly attempting to fix Zimbabwe's forthcoming Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers against Swaziland, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu he's prepared to go to court to clear his name.
In my life, I've never been involved in match fixing. I think I've played football and I've contributed a lot to football, even to the development of football. And for me to be standing and trying to be involved in match fixing, I think it would be something unheard of my system. So basically, it's an issue which my legal team they're busy with. I think today they've written back to ZIFA, responding to the letter which they wrote to me. But just in short, I shall never be involved in anything to do with match fixing.
That was suspended ZIFA board member Edzai Kasinauyo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. Meanwhile, Harare City Football Club will not be short of support when they trot onto Rufaro Stadium tomorrow for their CAF Confederation Cup assignment against ZESCO of Zambia. Reporter Michael Kariati tells us why.
The Harare City Club is a small support base, but a guaranteed of a full house. Its fans from all the other clubs all over the country have pledged to be at Rufaro Stadium to cheer them all the way to victory. Harare City, as Zimbabwe's only remaining representative in Pan-African football, following the elimination of Chicken Inn. Jaramos fan George Msariri says all football fans should be at the stadium to help keep the Zimbabwean fire burning.
I'm encouraging people to come in numbers so that we support our national representative.
Although his club is playing in Bulawayo the next day, Msariri has committed himself to the Zimbabwean cause, adding that he will attend the Harare City game before traveling to Bulawayo to watch his team play. A member of the Cape United Supporters Association National Executive, Moses Magawa, says everyone, including those who support lower division football, should be at Rufaro Stadium come the start of the match tomorrow. After the Harare City game, Dynamos and Islanders fans will be on their way to Bulawayo, where Bosso are seeking to continue their newly found dominance over the Glamour Boys in the Bob 92 Super Cup. The competition is to celebrate the birthday of President Robert Mugabe. Meanwhile, it is do or die for the Zimbabwe national cricket team when they enter the Vidaba Cricket Association Stadium for their 2020 World Cup Super 10 decider against Afghanistan tomorrow. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. And in music today, human rights activist Nyaradzo Mashaya Mombe, or Nyari as many call her, is making her mark not only as an activist for women and girls' rights, but as a musician as well. Let's hear more about her musical journey.
My name is Nyaradzo Mashaya Mombe, affectionately called Nyari. I'm the founder and director of Tege Life International, a girl child rights organization and a young women's organization. I'm also a musician with three albums to my name and the recent release called Ratiri. I never thought I would be a musician, so I pursued everything else but music. And I would say I took after my mom. My mom has got an amazing voice. And so came 2003-2004, when there was the rise of Eben Groves in Zimbabwe and gospel music as well, where the likes of Fungisai and Anamai Soloma and Yanat Plaxidis Wenika, Rana Fungisai, you know, doing those things. And my friends in Bulawayo, you actually said, Nyari, you know what, you have an amazing voice, because I was in the choir as well. One of the friends was Dumisani Nkomo. I don't even know if he remembers, but he was one of the people who really identified my talent. But he has a heavy presence of gospel, and the gospel of it is amazing in that it's a local Zimbabwean Afro feel jazz gospel, which I feel like it's necessary for us as Zimbabweans, probably as Shona or Ndebele or whatever, to sing the way that God created us so that it glorifies them as well.
That there was Nyari Mashaya Mombe. We'll hear more tomorrow. Don't miss it. And now to recap today's top stories. In a landmark case, the High Court has ruled that Section 70 of the Police Act, which places a cap of a six-month period within which police should be sued, is inconsistent with Zimbabwe's constitution. Former ZANU-PF members speak out on what they claim are attempts by President Mugabe to create a political family dynasty. That's all for tonight. And now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungameli Nkomo. This is Chris Gande. Good night and have yourself a restful weekend.